If you've been here, if you regularly attend here, you know we just finished a series going through the book of Philippians. And soon we'll be going through another book of the Bible. But before that, I want to spend just a couple weeks reflecting on Psalm 23. And so that's where we find ourselves tonight, as well as next week. So we'll look at the first half tonight, and then the second half next week of Psalm 23. So I do invite you to turn your Bibles to Psalm 23, and I'll invite our scripture reader on up, and he will be reading the entire Psalm 1 through 6, although our focus tonight will be on verses 1 through 3. You okay, Max? Okay, go ahead. Okay.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you.
All right, guys, let me pray for our time in the Word this evening. Father, we come to you and we ask that you would minister to us right now in this hour through your Word, by your Holy Spirit, that you would meet us where we are, wherever each and every one of us may be tonight. We know that your word is true, that is living and active. We pray that you would use it to speak to us, to minister to us. By your Spirit, draw us closer to you, that we may see the goodness of Jesus, and that would lead us to worship you this evening. We ask for your grace in this time, that you'd be glorified. In Christ's name, amen. The Psalms just in general really are it's a beautiful book and collection in Scripture that maybe many of you guys, you have your own favorite Psalm, or you like to go to the Psalms, especially in times of trouble, of difficulty. And arguably, maybe one of the most popular and well-known Psalms in the Bible is this very Psalm, Psalm 23. Many of you guys have probably heard of it, know it. You know, when I was in kindergarten at our very own Walnut Creek Christian Academy down the street, does that blow your mind? Yeah. Which my son just started kindergarten there this year. In my kindergarten class, kind of our big Bible thing, class thing at the end of the year, was to memorize this whole psalm. Of Psalm 23, and so it's been in my heart for a long, long time, and maybe it has been for you as well. Its popularity is not just within the church, it even goes beyond the church walls. Maybe you've heard this psalm quoted in some ways in movies or TV shows, or even at funerals. And one reason I think it's so popular is because it is a very comforting psalm. The way in which the psalmist, which is David, that he walks us through this journey, it is very comforting in a lot of ways. And my hope and my prayer is that as we look at this psalm in the next 2 weeks, that it would bring you great comfort. It would bring you to worship the shepherd. The psalm written by David, it takes us on a journey. And we'll see that in the next 2 weeks. And he uses imagery of that of a shepherd and a sheep. And as we go on this journey, I want the focus really to be on the shepherd himself. And so over the next 2 weeks, we'll be looking at six characteristics of our shepherd. One characteristic per verse. Now as we walk with the shepherd, may we see really just how glorious and how awesome he is. And so tonight we're going to look at three characteristics of the shepherd. As we look at these three characteristics, and that's the only points you're going to see on the screen. No sub-points tonight, just the three main points, the characteristics. If I could, like, direct our attention to one point, if I could summarize these first three characteristics, it would be to see that the shepherd has an intimate relationship with his sheep. That's my hope for this evening, that we would see that aspect of the shepherd, this intimate relationship with his sheep. We'll see this in the way in which he satisfies, the way in which he refreshes, and the way in which he restores his sheep. That if you are indeed in Christ, and yet you struggle with doubts of God's love, if you struggle with knowing if he is truly there for you, I encourage you, walk with the shepherd and see the intimate relationship that he has with his sheep. Okay? So first, our first main point, our verse 1, is the satisfying shepherd. The satisfying shepherd. Found in verse 1. He says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What a striking statement right off the bat. The Lord is my shepherd. I think first we need to understand who this shepherd is. Who is the shepherd that he calls the Lord is my shepherd? Who is the shepherd? It is the Lord. It is Yahweh. Okay, this shepherd, the Lord, this is the I am. This is the I am who I am. This is the eternal, the unchanging, the self-sufficient, holy God. This is Yahweh. He is eternally on his throne. No one can thwart his plan. No one can overpower him. No one is greater than he. He does not rely or depend on or need anyone or anything. He is fully self-sufficient. He is Yahweh. This is the Lord. And then he says, "The Lord is my shepherd." The Lord is my shepherd. Wait a second. Yahweh is my shepherd? Do you see that? This eternal, matchless, holy, infinite, perfect God, Yahweh, is my shepherd? See, David's emphasizing here a deep, a personal relationship with the eternal God. Saying that you, a human, can have a personal, loving relationship with God, the Creator. That means that if you are in Christ, you, a mere mortal, a sinner by nature, you are cherished and you are loved by the Almighty God. That you belong to Him. And how is that possible? How has He made you His own? Well, the Father sent the Son, and the Son laid down His life for his sheep. See, Jesus is the good shepherd. And he says in John 10, verse 11, he says, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." Jesus Christ, the Son of God, added humanity to himself, and he died on the cross in your place so that you may live. And because of the finished work of Christ, you can be forgiven of all of your sin, and you can draw near to the Father. Because of what Christ has done, by His grace, by the work of His Holy Spirit, we can say, "The Lord is my shepherd." Is that true for you? Can you say this? Can you say, "The Lord is my shepherd"? See, not everyone can say this. For many are still part of a different fold. Many are still part of a different pasture with a different shepherd. Many have rejected Christ, and therefore He's not their shepherd. Do you belong to Him? Can you say, the Lord, Yahweh, is my shepherd? That you have placed your faith in Him. That He has brought you into His fold. That you belong to Him. So just know that this psalm, and when we explore this psalm today and next week, this psalm is talking about those who are genuinely in Christ. And so if you are in Christ, find comfort, find joy in the fact that the Lord, Yahweh, is your shepherd. I mean, you realize how deep that truth is. See, being one of His sheep, it's not just being another number in a club. Like, yeah, just add my name to the list. No, it is a relationship with the true and living God that He specifically sought you out. He left the 99 sheep to find the one. And if you are in Christ, you are that one. That you've been chosen. That you've been adopted. That you are loved. You are secure. You are His sheep. Christ died for you. Christ shed His blood for you. He paid your ransom. And so now you can't say, the Lord is my shepherd. And if that is true, if you are indeed His sheep, if He is indeed your shepherd, then you now bear His mark. See, when you buy a sheep, not that I've ever bought a sheep before, but so I am told. When you buy a sheep, you place a mark on her ear, like a clip, like you clip their ear in a certain way. There's a mark on them that lets everyone know this sheep belongs to this shepherd. You know what I'm saying? Kind of like a branding, right? This clipping on their ear. Yep, this sheep belongs to this shepherd. If you are in Christ, you bear His mark. So that the world may know you belong to Him. Oh, this sheep belongs to this shepherd. Christian, may you bear the mark of Christ. And may our mark be that of the mark of the cross of Christ. That we proclaim Christ crucified. That we boast, not in us, but we boast in the cross of Christ. That we deny ourselves and we pick up our cross and we follow Him. Christian, do you bear the mark of Christ? Has Christ made a difference in your life? Can people see the mark of Christ in your life? Can they see the mark and say, oh, you must belong to Christ? That's His mark. You're His sheep. If you indeed belong to Him, if He is your shepherd, you ought to bear His mark. And if this is true for you, that the Lord is your shepherd, then the next statement is also true. You shall not want. That's what He says, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. This speaks of the complete satisfaction that we have in Christ. You know, sheep, they are completely dependent for everything. They depend on their shepherd for food, for water, for protection, for shelter, for everything. And the same is true for us. We are completely dependent beings. And we like to think of ourselves as independent because we're Americans. But no, we rely on our gracious Father every single day in every single thing. And in saying that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, it speaks to the fact that He satisfies our every need. Do you believe that? Do you believe that there is complete satisfaction in Him? He is the good shepherd. And if there's something you do not have, it's because you don't need it. And in his goodness and his wisdom, he withholds some of the things that we ask for. You know, you may have heard the statement, the grass is greener on the other side, right? The grass is greener on the other side. Well, let me tell you, if you're in Christ, it's not greener on the other side. Because there's complete satisfaction in Christ. There is complete satisfaction in Him, in which we can say, I shall not want, because Christ is all satisfying. And so when we say, the Lord is my shepherd, we can't say, I shall not want. What is there to want? I have Christ. I have the best. So do not be deceived into thinking that to divert away from the Lord would bring you more satisfaction. Don't be tempted by the other pastures in this world that says, no, look, we are the greener grass. No, know that the true satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. Are you satisfied in Him? Or are you allured by the things of this world? Christ is the only one who can truly satisfy you and who can truly satisfy your greatest need. And your greatest need is what? It is salvation. Your greatest need is to be made right with God. Your greatest need is the forgiveness of your sin. And if you are in Christ, He has satisfied all of that on your behalf. He has saved you from your sin. He has transferred you out of the kingdom of darkness, brought you into His marvelous light. He has redeemed you. So what else do you need? You now have a loving, saving relationship with the living God. And so it doesn't matter what you have or what you don't have in this life. You have the greatest thing of all. You have eternal life in Jesus Christ. So you see that there is true satisfaction in belonging to the shepherd. For if you are in Christ, you can say, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He is the all-satisfying shepherd. Secondly, what we see about our shepherd, that he is the refreshing shepherd. Verse 2. The refreshing shepherd. Verse 2 says, He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. In the shepherd's care and love for his sheep, he provides them with refreshment. And the two ways in which the shepherd gives us refreshment is by making us lie down in green pastures and by leading us beside still waters. So first, let's look at what it means to lie down in green pastures. The point of this is the rest that we receive from our shepherd. You know, sheep cannot rest unless their shepherd provides it for them. Like we said, the shepherd provides them with everything. There are various things that may prevent a sheep from rest. Sometimes it's just fear of their surroundings. Sometimes it's friction, like with other sheep, like they're rubbing up too close with other sheep, they can't rest. Sometimes it's pests. They get bugs in their eyes and their nose and their ears, so they can't rest. Sometimes it's hunger. They have empty stomachs, and so they're not hungry. They can't rest. I mean, they just can't. They need everything. They have all these problems. They can't rest. If any of these aren't met, they can't rest. And so the shepherd works to make sure he can alleviate these things so the sheep can rest because he knows that they need rest. We are no different. We need rest. We need physical rest. We need emotional rest. Ultimately, we need spiritual rest. And true rest only comes from our shepherd. Do you ever feel just the weight of the world on your shoulders? You ever feel restless, tired, burnt out? If you're homeschooled, I'm sure that you do. You ever feel like that you just can't get rest? You keep trying and trying, but you can't do it. I invite you to come to the Good Shepherd. I want to look at all three aspects of that rest. The first is that our shepherd gives us physical rest. Physical rest. Some of you need to hear, and you need to know, that it is okay to have physical rest. Sometimes I preach to myself. It's one of those times. Okay? In fact, you need to have physical rest. God created us as beings who need rest. Do you ever think of that? He could have created us to never need rest. To not need it. Just to go, be active, 24/7. Sometimes I wish he made us like that, right? But no, that's not how he created us. He chose to create us as beings who need to rest. In fact, he commands us to rest. As God rested on the seventh day, so we too need to rest. And so actually, in our rest, we can worship him. We can worship him in our rest. We can worship him by humbly realizing we are beings who need rest. We can't just keep going. Rest is a gift from God, and we ought to accept it. And he has relieved us of our duty of needing to do more and more and more and more. Yes, we should work diligently unto the Lord. Yes, we should be good stewards of what God has given us. Yes, we should not be a sluggard. But that does not mean that we fall to the temptation of worshiping work, of worshiping achievements, of worshiping success. We need to give that up to the Lord and know that he makes us lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we need to be made to do so. We need rest. Come to Christ and find rest in him. He makes us lie down in green pastures. He gives us rest and refreshment. But also our shepherd gives us emotional rest. We need emotional rest. We are emotional beings. And that can be a very good thing. Okay, emotions are not always bad. God has given us emotions. Praise God. But sometimes we need emotional rest. You know, sheep are not meant to carry a load. Right, we're talking about this. Sheep aren't meant to carry a load. They're not load-bearing animals. Do you realize that? Like a donkey or a colt. Those are load-bearing animals. You can load them up. Right? A pack mule. You put all this stuff on them and they can carry a load. Not sheep. Sheep can't carry a load on their back. And neither can we. We are not meant to carry a load, but we are meant to cast our burdens on our shepherd and find rest in him. Write down 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7. This should be, if you are ever feeling like you need rest, if you are ever feeling overwhelmed by the things of this world, you need to turn to 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 6 and 7. Listen to what Peter writes. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you. You hear that? It starts with humility. We need to humble ourselves. And what does he say? Cast all your anxieties on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Humble yourself. Know that you need rest. And know that you cannot bear it alone. And cast your anxieties on him. And know that he cares for you. That he truly cares for you. And he will give you rest. Do not seek to just carry all of the weight of your emotions on your shoulders. You aren't meant to carry them. You aren't a load-bearing animal. Cast those burdens at the feet of your shepherd. And let him bear it. Let him give you emotional rest. And thirdly, our shepherd gives us spiritual rest. And this is really, I think, the ultimate rest that we need. Spiritual rest. If you are in Christ, the shepherd has given you true, everlasting spiritual rest. The Father sent the Son to give us spiritual rest, as it says in John 3:16, so that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. As Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we have spiritual rest through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God now because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. He has given us rest. And so if you are in Christ, you are no longer at war with God. But there is peace. There is rest. Remember, sheep cannot provide their own rest for themselves. But it is the shepherd who must make them lie down in green pastures. And in the same way, if you're not a Christian, no, you cannot provide yourself with spiritual rest. If you're not a Christian, know this, that you cannot try to just to do more and more and more and more so that you're at peace with God, so that you can have spiritual rest with Him. No, the only way to find true spiritual rest is to give it up to Christ. He is the one that gives you rest. And so if you are not a Christian, I urge you to give up trying and instead fully rely on Christ. Fully place your faith in the finished work of Christ. Because in Him is true rest. In Him is salvation. Now, if you are in Christ, sometimes the temptation is to hop back on the treadmill of works, trying to satisfy and to please God. And yes, Scripture calls us to good works. It calls us to sacrificial living. It calls us to pour ourselves out for Christ. Yes, but Scripture also calls us to rest. Scripture calls us to rest in His grace. Scripture calls us to rest in the finished work of Christ. Scripture calls us to rest in the love of the Father. To know that whether we live in absolute fire for God or whether we are in a dry season, He loves us the same. So Christian, rest in Him. Walk with the Shepherd and know that He gives you rest. Now, all of that is that He makes me lie down in green pastures. But the second way in which we receive refreshment from the Shepherd is being led beside still waters, He says. Beside still waters. See, sheep need refreshment. And they need still waters. They need clean water. And so the Shepherd brings them to still, clean waters, and He gives them refreshment. See, if the Shepherd does not do this, there's danger for the sheep. They may stumble upon rapid waters and we're just going to wash them away. Oh, there goes Bessie. Although Bessie's usually a cow, but this is a fat sheep, okay? Or they may stumble upon maybe a dirty pothole and just start drinking it up, in which they could get diseases and they could die, okay? This is what sheep do, so I hear. And so the Shepherd leads them to good water. Water that brings them refreshment and nourishment. Do you need refreshment? Are you spiritually parched? Be led by the Shepherd to find refreshment in Him. He leads us to still waters. See, be careful where you seek your refreshment. Don't seek it apart from the Shepherd. Be careful not to be, like as the sheep would be tossed through this raging current of rapid waters, be careful not to be tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes, Ephesians 4:14. Be careful not to drink from the waters of this world that are polluted with sin and that poison your soul. There are a lot of bad waters out there. But in our Shepherd, we have clean, refreshing water. So come to Christ, the fountain of living waters, and be refreshed in Him. Our ultimate refreshment comes in Christ and the salvation that we have in Him. If you need refreshment, don't look at the things of this world. Look to Christ. Remind yourself of the gospel. That's refreshment. Rest in the truths and the promises that you have in Him. And you will see your soul will be refreshed. You guys know what it's like when you're outside on a hot summer day. We've had some hot summer days. And you've been doing yard work. If any of you guys do that, I don't. But let's just pretend that we do. And you go out and you're doing yard work. And so you're hot and you're sweaty and you're parched. And so you go inside and you're like, oh, it's so hot. Right, and then like you get your ice and the water, and just like, oh, right, it's just like so refreshing, that ice cold water on your chapped lips and your dry throat, and you're just like, oh, it's so nice. In times in which you may feel spiritually dehydrated, there is nothing more refreshing than the gospel of Jesus Christ. Remember the gospel. Be refreshed in Christ. Jesus says in John 4 that those who drink from His waters will never thirst again. There is ultimate refreshment in Christ. So walk with your shepherd and see that He provides refreshment. Lastly, we see the restoring shepherd in verse 3. The restoring shepherd. Sheep can become cast, what's called cast, a cast sheep. A cast sheep is a sheep that's rolled on its back and it can't roll back on its feet. It's just like, it's like stuck. It's become cast, okay? That's a cast sheep. And this is actually very dangerous for the sheep, believe it or not, okay? The dangers of a cast sheep is, one, it can't roll back on its own, so it's just stuck. And second, if it stays cast for too long, it will eventually die because gas is built up and blood stops circulating and they die. Just cast. It's really kind of pathetic. And it is the shepherd who must restore a cast sheep. And the shepherd is watchful of those sheep who have rolled over, who have become cast. And the shepherd is the one who goes and helps the cast sheep. And we too can become cast. We can become downcast and need restoration. And the shepherd is there watching. He's there to restore our souls. The shepherd is always watching, and he is aware of every single one of his sheep. If you are feeling downcast, if you are feeling alone, or you are feeling forgotten, remember that the shepherd sees you, and the shepherd cares for you. And He will not let you stay cast. Sometimes we are tempted to think we are forgotten because we've been cast for a while. And there's a sense of loneliness we can all feel at times. But if you are a Christian, you are never alone and you are never forgotten. There is not a single sheep in His flock that He's not looking at, that He's not aware of, that He does not love, that He does not remember. You know, when a sheep has become cast, often predators will take advantage and they'll seek to attack the cast sheep because they're vulnerable. So when you are downcast, be watchful of the attacks of the enemy. Because it is when we are downcast, we allow our minds to go to places it shouldn't. We start listening to the whispers. We start believing the lies. It's in those times that the enemy wants us to doubt God's love for us, to doubt God's character, to doubt God's promises to us. So when you are cast, seek the Lord. Call out to your shepherd. He is the one who restores our soul. And in His restoration of us, He is the one who leads us in paths of righteousness, it says. It says, He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness. See, the shepherd is the one who knows the good paths. He is the one who leads the sheep there. And sometimes the path we are on, it does not seem right. It's certainly not the path we would choose. In fact, that might be why we're downcast. Because we're worried about the path that we're on, and we're not trusting in our shepherd. But we must trust that the shepherd knows that this is a path of righteousness. The shepherd has a perfect plan, and He is out in front leading His sheep. You know, it'd be foolish to think that a sheep knows better than the shepherd, right? Like, if you're just thinking about a bunch of these sheep and the shepherd, it'd be foolish if a sheep thought that he knew better than the shepherd. But how much more foolish would it be for us to think we know better than God? Yeah. Believe it or not, we are closer to sheep than we are to God. Like, there's a much bigger gap in our understanding between us and sheep. We're more similar than us and God in that way. Notice it doesn't say He leads me on paths of ease. No, it says he leads me on paths of righteousness. You see, sometimes the right path is not the easy path. But God's path is always the righteous path. We're going to see that more next week when he says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You see, the good shepherd himself, Jesus Christ, he took a path that was not easy, but it was a path of righteousness. It was the path to the cross. We are called to pick up our cross daily and follow him. And it may not always be easy to follow him, but it will always be right to follow him. And you may be going through a difficult time in which you feel downcast. You may be on a path that does not seem easy. You may be in a time in which you don't know what the future holds. But you have a shepherd who knows. You have a shepherd who is leading you on a path of righteousness. So trust your shepherd. And as it says here, it is for his name's sake. It's for his name's sake. As in, it's all for his glory. That whatever path the shepherd has you on, know it is for his glory. Is there anything else that we desire more than his glory? So whatever path the shepherd has you on, know it is righteous. If you are in Christ, you can be assured that it is for your good and it is for his glory. So whatever path you find yourself on, may you glorify him on that path. Well, as we have walked with the shepherd now in just these three verses, we've seen that the shepherd is a satisfying shepherd, he's a refreshing shepherd, and he is a restoring shepherd. And I hope that in seeing these characteristics of our shepherd, that you can see the deep love of the shepherd and the intimate relationship that he has with his sheep. If you are in Christ, you are his sheep. And all Christians can say, we are the sheep of his pasture. And so, Christian, walk with your shepherd. Don't run from your shepherd. Don't ignore your shepherd. Walk with him. Find joy in your shepherd. Find a passion for your shepherd. Seek to live for your shepherd. Then I'll close by saying this, that if you are not in Christ, you are of a different fold. That you cannot say, the Lord is my shepherd. But the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ is offered to you today. It is offered to you by his grace, and it is received through faith. And so if you do not know Christ, I urge you to come to him in faith and repentance, that you would submit your life, and you'd worship the true shepherd. Well, as we close, I'm going to close in a word of prayer. I want to invite up the whole worship team, and let's sing the last song we sang, The Goodness of Jesus. Can we do that one again? All right. Worship team, go ahead and come on up and get prepared for that song. Let me pray for us. Father, you are so good. You are even more good than many ways in which we know. But we thank you for your word, and that it reveals your character, your works, your goodness. Well, Father, I pray for those in here who need to rest in your love, who need to know that they belong to you and Jesus Christ. That they can cry out to their shepherd, to you, Yahweh. They can find refreshment. They can find rest, restoration, joy, comfort, peace in your loving embrace. I pray that your word and by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would minister to our hearts. That it would lead us to worship you, to trust you, to cry out to you, to share your goodness to others. For those in here who do not know you, I pray that you would call them to yourself and that you would save them. May you continue to minister to our hearts as we sing these praises to you and as we discuss these things with one another. To your glory we pray. In Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Thank you.